Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at some temperance today. Be not drunk with wine. It's good to consider temperance, how we walk in this world. That's what Paul's telling us in this chapter. But Felix had considered these things. So he reasoned of righteousness. This man Felix, there in Acts chapter 24, he reasoned of righteousness. I'm not, Christ is. Well, that's something in there. He reasoned of temperance. My knowledge of God, out of a debt of love, I ought to walk a certain way in this world. And he reasoned of judgment. The Lord's going to judge this world. Christ sets in judgment of all things. He trembled at those things. That temperance, that righteousness, that judgment to come. And you know what he did? He said, I'll deal with this next month. I'll come back to this next week. What important to it was. Things are important to us. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul writes by the Holy Ghost and says, Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Before we look at this word of instruction, I want us to remember, as I hope we do every message through this book, and as we go through Romans, Paul is writing to believers here. He's writing to saved children of God. He's writing to Christ's sheep. He's giving them instruction not to become children of God, but because they are children of God. I want us to remember the context of this letter to this church at Ephesus. Paul tells us in chapters 1 and 2, he's used by God the Holy Ghost to tell us plainly what the Lord did in and for His people. God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Father chose a people before the world was. Before there was a sinner, there was a Savior, and Christ, the Lord chose them in Christ. His good will and pleasure, He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. That is who we find redemption in His blood. That is in who we find forgiveness of our sins. And it's in direct proportionality. It's an equal measure of His abundant grace. Oh, what forgiveness is there in Him? In direct proportion to His abundant grace. Think He's going to run out? You who believe Christ, we find this to be true because the Holy Spirit abounds towards us. He does it in perfect wisdom and in perfect prudence. He makes this mystery. Boy, it's mysterious, isn't it? The salvation in Christ alone. How mysterious that is to the natural man. And He makes us to know it. I think that might be what that is what it is. That's salvation. It's a person. Makes us know it. If this gracious inheritance of Christ, this act of eternal love for His people, this redemption that is forever, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All of it is to the praise and the glory of our mighty God. Every bit of it. This letter is to you who know that, who know Him. You who trusted Christ alone, as He tells us, after you heard the preaching of the word of truth. The truth of the Lordship of Christ. You didn't believe Him before you heard that. You believed Him after you heard it. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 32, left side of your page there, it's an act that's already taken place. Ephesians 4, 32, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do I got to do something for God to forgive me? He hath forgiven you. Fools argue over when's a man justified. There's 2 points. There's 4 points of justification. All kinds of nonsense. For Christ's sake, whose sake's that for? We're just beneficiaries. For His sake, He hath forgiven you. That's then, that's right now, and that's to come. In the first verse of chapter 5, Paul writes for us to be followers of God, imitators of God, as little children, children of God, because you are His children. He said, wherefore, or verse 14, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore He saith, awaketh thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Because we've been awakened, quickened, given life from our spiritual death, and given His light, He says in verse 17. Cause all this. Everything He said in this whole letter to Ephesus. Cause all this, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise. Don't be a fool. Be understanding of the will of the Lord. We looked at that last time. And, verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This has a practical application to it, as most of the Word of God does. I reference that a lot in Proverbs. You read those Proverbs, you show up right place, right time, right uniform, right attitude, it's going to help you get your job. You're going to get promoted, ain't you? Those financial things, don't be slave to the lender. You're going to have a little more money in your pocket. But if that's all you get, you got nothing. If all you get is the practical, if all you get is how you're supposed to do in this world, you got nothing. It's all going to burn. Wood, hay, and stubble. There must be some precious stones there. Some gold there. Some silver there. Built on Christ, this foundation. It's not only good practical instruction. Paul's laying the groundwork to speak to husbands and wives. That's what we're going to look at next week, Lord willing. He's going to give us instruction concerning marriage. But he reminds us again there in verse 32. Ephesians 5:32. This is a great mystery. He's just told us all about marriage, husbands and wives. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. There's a spiritual application there. Nevertheless, verse 33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Just because this is a spiritual lesson, nevertheless, go do. Go do that. So this practical application is good. Do not be drunk with wine. What happens when you're drunk with wine? You can't control your speech. You can't control your body. You can't control your actions, your thoughts. And it's not in the wisdom of moderation. But there's a spiritual lesson here. Turn over to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, here's the message, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Throughout the Scriptures, Babylon is pictured as false religion. The wine of her fornication is that message of lies. We've been looking at that recently, that fornication. That's to, spiritually, that's to completely bypass the covenant of grace and pay no attention to God. It's a message that that covenant of grace of Christ is not so. That you can come to God any way you want. That's a big glass of wine of fornication of Babylon. There's one way to approach God. Christ Jesus the Lord. People say, I've been told this so many times. We're all going to the same place. We're just taking different paths. Oh, there's so many ways to approach God. There's so many truths. There's so many truths, don't they? So many loves. We're all brethren. There's my brother. That's my sister. You just pick whichever way is best for you, and it's just going to be wonderful. You know what that is? That's meeting somebody with a kiss. They call you brother or sister so easily. That's what Lord willing we'll look at tonight. The difference between Judas and Peter. Lord, is it I? But in man's religion, in the so-called worship that originates from man, that's where it comes from. That's just a big party, isn't it? A big drunken party. It's like Nebuchadnezzar's boys. And it's intoxicating to our nature. Our old man, boy, we got just a craving, a great appeal for that wine, don't we? Why, it'd be so much easier, wouldn't it, if we were just more inclusive? Open the doors up for everybody. Just love everybody. Let everybody get up and preach. I don't know, you said you was good. Let everybody watch my children. Are you a good person? Yeah, watch my kids for a week. I'm going out of town. We wouldn't do that, would we? The truth cries, there is one way. There is one truth. There is one life. Christ the Lord, the one mediator between God and men. We have one hope, Him. We have one faith, His faith. We have one birth, being born of God. We have one love, His love. Child of God is told plainly to stay away from that wine of Babylon. Don't support it, don't partake in it, and don't become indifferent to it. Stick to the simplicity of Christ. We don't need to attempt to be the judge, jury, and executioner of all this, of Babylon. We don't need to try to close up their liquor store. What have we been learning? Christ is the judge all. Vengeance is of the Lord's. He'll deal with it, won't he? Turn over to Revelation 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Revelation 17, 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. One of these seven angels come to John and said, I'm going to show you this judgment. You ain't going to be the one to do it. There will be answers. Look here in Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's what we just read there. Those merchant changers kicked out of the temple. They've waxed rich. It's a profitable business. People try to make money off of it. Verse 4. And I heard another voice saying from heaven, Come out of her, my people. Be ye that not partakers of her sins, that she receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. For the child of God, wrapped up in his drunk, and don't know you drunk in it. Drinking it like water. Harder as you can throw it back. We have comfort knowing that our sins and our iniquities, the Lord will remember no more. He's going to come to his child, my people, nobody else, and say, come out. And you think they're going to stay around? You think, well, I'm going to go there on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I'll come here the rest of the week. He said, come out. Come out. Our sins are remembered no more. They're removed. That iniquity is removed as far as the east is from the west. There is therefore now. Right now. Right yesterday, right now, right tomorrow. Right now. No condemnation. To who? To them who are in Christ Jesus. In the person of Him. For those that drink that wine and are intoxicated by it. And have a lot of comfort in all those lies they told man. Who man is. Who God is. Lies about His holiness. These souls that are drunk on lies about the remedy of that sin. That's just something other than the blood of Jesus Christ, isn't it? What's going to get rid of your sin? You better quit smoking and chewing and drinking wine and all this stuff. Because it says don't be drunk with wine, right? You got to do that. That's not the remission of sin. That's something other than the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood's our remission for sin. And to those people, to those that weren't brought out, His people, the Lord says judgment's coming. Judgment's coming to them. Look back in Revelation 14:10 again. Revelation 14:10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. It ain't going to get watered down. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Capital L-A-M-B. You know how often we ask our Lord to give us ears to hear. Lord, give me ears to hear. He must be the one that does that. He must give us ears to hear of His blood, of His accepted payment for our sin. His finished work. He must give us hearts to love Him. Trust Him. And we must be drawn to Him. He has to come to my people and say, come out. People often ask me, why do you even preach? If Ephesians 1's true, and it is, and Christ must do all the work, man's just got to wait for Him to do something. It ain't got nothing to our working in it. My hand ain't involved in it. You say, oh, that closes the door for men and women to come to Christ. No, it does not. I'm telling you right now, come out. Be ye not drunk with wine. Don't get drunk on that foolishness. Wood, hay, and stubble. Come out. I read a good quote of that. I think it's Thomas More. He said, Arminianism's all door and no house, and hyper-Calvinism's all house and no door. It's true, then. Here's the door. Come to Christ. Come out. Does that slay you? Like that jawbone of an ass coming. Does that slay you? Are you made willing in the day of His power? Or do you willfully and earnestly in your heart reject it and say, I'll go back to being drunk with works. I'm going to go hang out with Babylon. They're my friends. That's what Christ was speaking of when He said, a man that does not forsake his mother, father, brother, sister, child, whatever, and follow me, he's none of mine. Well, He also tells us to honor your mother and father. That's to cling to Babylon. Well, now grandma, now she knew right. She just heard a different gospel. Gagunk. Back in our text there in Ephesians 5. Speaking to the child of God. For Christ's sake, in response to His love towards us, for calling out His sheep, we're told here in verse 18, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Physically, I wonder if the multitudes, I don't know where people got the notion that sin's in a bottle, sin's in alcohol, but if the multitudes that believe that alcohol in and of itself, that drink, is evil, oh, it's sin. Practically, would they call our Lord a wine bibber? If He had a glass of wine with His dinner and He was here with us this evening? Well, you can't do that. We're going to sit in judgment of the Lord. We recently saw it's not what goes into a mouth that defiles a man. It's what comes out. Sin's not a substance. It's in my misusing of it. drinks are not sin, but when I consume it on my own lust, when I'm just bare-knuckle boxing drunk, that's sinful, isn't it? That sin's in me. It's not in that substance. Meat, food, it's not sinful, but if I abuse it, or if I push it on my brethren, it's okay for you to eat this. That's what we've been looking at, isn't it, in Romans. That's sinful. Either saying we need to abstain or you must eat. It's sinful. Days are not sinful. My abuse of those days are sinful. That puts a child of God in a unique, peculiar position, doesn't it? Our Lord said, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. He wasn't doing either one of it. And you say, he hath a devil. Look at that man. He's a devil. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Look who he's hanging out with. Did you see what he ate? He had a glass of wine at dinner. The family of God's going to have some troubles, aren't we? Whether we eat or we don't eat. Whether we drink or we don't drink. If we do or we do not do something. Christ knew no sin. He never sinned. Spotless Lamb of God. That should tell us that consuming wine is not sinful. That we're the sin. Paul told Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Timothy's about to become a pastor. You're going to have some infirmities. You're going to have some stomach problems. You'll be up late at night. He said, you drink a little wine. Did he say a whole bunch? He didn't say a fifth or a handle, did he? He said a little. Moderation. As with anything, if we drive fast, get a car to 200 miles an hour, if we just consume everything we can get in front of us, if we spend every penny we can get a hold of, if we save every penny we get a hold of, we're only here for a vapor, aren't we? All those things are going to burn. Do it in moderation. Do it in moderation. But what is there no law against? It says there in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You can overdo that. But be filled with the Spirit. You see the drastic contrast there? The contrast? You got something that you physically do, and then immediately something spiritually. It's probably talking about spiritual on both, isn't it? We've been looking at that a lot lately, and I pray it'll stay with us to put off that old man and put on a new. Be filled with the Spirit. Put off, physically and spiritually, both. Put off that old man, those things that do not profit. And put on Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. How can we do that? Can't do it in and of ourselves. How can we do that? Verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, everything, unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. How can we keep from being drunk with the wine of this world? Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns. That's the psalms that David wrote, most of them, and Asaph. And the hymns. What about that song of Moses? Spiritual songs. Sing unto the Lord. If He's worked in us, we have a new song to sing, don't we? Worthy is the Lamb. My brother Gabe sings a song from Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. I recently got a CD. I'll burn it for any of you. That's something profitable worth listening to. You want to listen to spiritual songs, that's it. Said, He reached way down for me. Boy, that's been stuck in my head for 2 weeks. Christ Jesus reached down for me. When He reached way down, that's where I was. Way down. Bottom of that miry pit and clay for me. Brother John Reeves, if we get talking about politics or something, he'll start singing, this world is not my home. Well, that's good. That's good. Be reminded. We stay focused on politics. Oh, if we stay focused on Babylon, false religion. If we stay focused on the government, what are they doing? On looking to our brethren instead of looking out for our brethren, we're going to be miserable. Do it if you want to. Wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up, but you're going to be miserable. We're going to be miserable. But when our pure minds are stirred up, we put off these foolish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child, thought like a child. But when I became a man, I acted and talked like a man. When our pure minds are stirred up, when we're brought into remembrance, when we remember the body and the blood of our Redeemer, that's what we do when we come to the Lord's table. His body broken for me. His blood shed for me. Then we're filled with the Spirit, aren't we? Well, we ain't looking this world no more. We're looking above. Focused on things above. Those fruits of the Spirit come when this happens. When He fills us with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no excess. He said in drinking wine there's excess. In those things there's no excess. There's no overdoing it. You ain't going to outlove them. With all this in mind, verse 21. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In our flesh, in our nature born of Adam. Men and women. We always somehow think in our back of our minds women's a little more pious than men are. They're just a little more nicer creatures. Men and women, they do not like the word submit. Neither one of them do. We like it if someone's submitting to us, don't we? That's pretty good. Like, how we're just going to do it your way, Kevin, however you want. Well, that's all right. It'll make me grin a little bit. But we have no desire to submit to anyone or anything. Not rulers, not employers, not husbands and wives, not to the pastor, not to your parents. That ain't our nature born of Adam, is it? Don't like it. Why? Because this old man is drunk in their own wisdom, in our own thoughts, in our own fears, and it does not know the power, the love, and the mercy of Almighty God. But to the saint of God, to Christ's sheep, they know of God's love. He shed it abroad in our hearts. We know of His power. This whited bones, this dead man was made willing a long time ago in the day of His power. The Lord gave me ears to hear. I'd listened a whole bunch. One day, I heard. He opened me up. And I know of His mercy. Because when He opened those ears and He gave me a new heart, oh, I was convicted of sin. I was convicted of me. Christ is righteousness. That's what's accepted to God. Judgment's coming. And how merciful He's been to me. What mercy He's shown me in the face of Jesus Christ. To them, to those people that's experienced that, submitting to Christ is rest. That's to lay down your guns. It's done. It's finished. Salvation's accomplished. He is the Lord of our salvation. The Lord of our righteousness. Stand still. Look at Him. Submit. Bow to Him. See you then. Paul said in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Submitting one to another is what Paul's telling us here. One believer to another believer. That's an act of love. Say, we'll just do it your way. It's honoring to Christ in you. And it's good for the whole body of Christ. For every one of them. We as the body of Christ are to love one another, to help one another, and to be subject one to another. That is what we do to Christ. We subject ourselves to Him. We submit to Him willingly. A willing bond servant. A willing love servant. Out of love to Him, out of love to our brethren, we ought to esteem one another higher than ourselves. We don't submit to drunkenness, but to the Spirit. We don't submit to this world, but to God. We do not have others submit to us, but we are to submit one to another. I hope that was a blessing to you. And I think it'll be a great blessing was for me. As we go into next week and we look at this analogy of husbands and wives, this marriage between men and women, and I ought to preserve these words. It might be gone for too long. Let's try to cancel that. I don't think the Lord let it happen. Try to erase that from history. It ain't going to work for them. But how precious of a picture it is of a husband and a wife. While we get to walk this world in that submitting one to another. All right, let's pray.